New Testament reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, verses 20 through 35. And the crowd came together again, so they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demon, he casts out demons." And he called them to him, and he spoke to them in parables. "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." This is the word of our Lord. When I was in the eighth grade, I took my first international trip without my parents to Spain, which may have not have been the best idea for them because they were worried sick about me the entire time I was gone, and I returned home with my hair colored a magenta color. But as I traveled with my eighth grade Spanish class and experienced the beauty and history of Madrid, and as I attended a bullfight in Sevilla, I fell in love with traveling. I absolutely loved traveling and experiencing the culture and the history of a foreign country. I love observing how people interact with one another in other cultures. I love the shopping, the food, the flora, the fauna. So after this travel bug was planted in me during my eighth grade trip to Spain, after that I sought out every opportunity to travel abroad. And at age 20, I decided to make it my own personal goal that I was going to leave the country at least once a year. Every trip abroad was filled with rich cultural experiences, but what has last or made the most lasting impression on me is the deep sense of community that is present in other cultures, and how some cultures are extremely intentional about making a deep personal connection with those around them, whether it's friends or family members, even strangers and acquaintances. Most often, I witness this deep sense of community occurring as people gather together for meals. In Spanish and Latin American cultures, it is typical and customary for folks to take a 2 to 3 hour lunch break so that they can really sit down with their family, their friends, and enjoy one another's company and meaningful conversation before they head back to their place of work. In Italy, it is also typical and customary within that culture for folks to take an extended amount of time for lunch or dinner to enjoy their food and the company that surrounds them. It is also not uncommon in Italy for an Italian to invite an acquaintance, someone they barely even know, to attend a family dinner or to host a big social gathering. Italians love food and wine, and they love hosting elaborate dinners and getting everyone together. In Germany, the way of dining there is a little bit different from here. When you enter a restaurant, there is no host or hostess. You are expected to seat yourself. And the German way of dining often entails sitting with complete strangers. If you enter an establishment and all the tables are full, then you are expected to sit at a table where people are already seated, and you just fill in the empty seats. Usually, this occurs in a restaurant or a beer garden that has the very long tables, so people can just fill in the seats and have a little bit more space. But that way of dining in Germany allows for new friendships to form, for relationships to bud. I was also fascinated by the way people share meals in China as well. Meals there are very long. They are a communal event as everyone shares their food with one another. In most restaurants, it is typical and customary for there to be very large round tables. These tables are large enough where 9 to 12 people can sit around them. And in the middle of this table is a Lazy Susan. So as everyone at this table orders items off the menu, the server brings them out as they're prepared, and she places them on the Lazy Susan. So as everyone is enjoying dinner, they're turning the Lazy Susan, and they're taking whatever they want from it and enjoying what each person has ordered. There are various customs and traditions all around the world in which food and sharing a meal brings people together. It draws family, friends, even strangers and acquaintances into community with one another. And I share all these illustrations of community and a deep sense of family connections that occur around the table as people share meals with one another, because this is exactly what is occurring in our passage from Mark this morning. In our passage from Mark, Jesus had just returned to his hometown after spending many, many years traveling around teaching. And upon his return home, he gathered together with folks to share a meal, to share a deep sense of community with those that were around him. You would think after spending such an extended amount of time away from home, away from his family members, that first in line would have been his family members to greet him, to hug him, to have dinner with him. But that is not exactly how it went down for Jesus. As Jesus gathered in a house with those around him to share a meal, his mother and his brothers were not present at that table. The scribes, who were opponents of Jesus, they had gathered outside of the house where Jesus was dining, and they were yelling at him. They were accusing him of being possessed by this evil spirit. And amongst those groups, amongst the scribes, the opponents of Jesus, making the evil accusations, were his mother and his brothers. Which is where Jesus then turns the concept of family on its head as he denounces his biological mother and brothers and looks to the people that were seated with him. He looks at the people that were in the house sharing a meal with him, and he says, "These are my family members. These people that are seated with me are my mother and my brothers." Clearly, this is not a text that a minister really wants to preach on Mother's Day. And it is also a text that we should tread lightly with children. But if we can get past the shock and horror of Jesus denouncing his own biological family members and claiming these strangers, these people that had gathered with him in this house to share a meal as his mother and brothers, then we can really open ourselves up to the grander picture here. And that grander picture being that with those seemingly horrific words of denouncement, Jesus cut through the lines of how family is typically defined. In this passage, he moves away from family only including blood relatives. He expands those boundaries to include all people who hunger for a relationship with God. He expands those boundaries to include anyone who is willing to do God's will. What happened around that table was that Jesus drew all those individuals, all those strangers, into community with one another, created a sense of family amongst them. He created a divine kinship amongst everyone that was seated with him at the table. As Christians, our brothers and sisters in this world is not strictly dependent on our blood relationships. There is a divine kinship that all of us are a part of because of our relationship with God. And in the past 3 weeks, we have had 9 new members added to our church family. 2 weeks from now, we will have 5 new members added to our church family. So our divine kinship here in this church continues to expand. The other night, Friday night, I was having dinner with a few folks from the church, and we were talking about how healthy of a church this is, how much genuine love and warmth there is present here, how much excitement. I've heard on several occasions from the people of our church that they knew without a shadow of a doubt that if they needed anything at any point in the day, in the middle of the night, that they could call anyone in this church and that they would do whatever they could to help them. We have done a mighty fine job of really nurturing our kinship and our relationships here. We've created a deep sense of community amongst all of us. Looking beyond the walls of our church, though, we share a divine relationship with all Christians in this world. And in the next year or so, we're going to have more opportunities to gather together with some of those folks, to gather around a table to share a meal, and to have meaningful conversation with our larger church family. Currently, our presbytery is looking at a new way of doing things, a new paradigm, in which myself and one elder of the church will no longer travel to Buffalo for a presbytery meeting every other month. But instead, I will attend a quarterly presbytery meeting. And then, with this new way of doing things, all of you, every single one of you, is invited to attend monthly gatherings. And these monthly gatherings will occur closer to us and include a few of the churches that are nearby. So it will include the Presbyterian Church in Jamestown and the Presbyterian Church in Dunkirk and Fredonia and possibly Silver Creek. During these monthly gatherings, we will be getting together with the minister and the members of those churches so that we can spend time getting to know one another, so that we can gather around a table to share a meal together. It's a way for us to get to know more of our brothers and sisters in Christ and to draw all of us into community with one another. Ultimately, the point of these monthly gatherings, which are initiated by our presbytery, is so that we can deepen our relationships with our brethren in the surrounding areas and nurture our divine kinship. All around the world, there are numerous cultures that are extremely intentional about cultivating a deep sense of community and nurturing strong personal connections with friends and loved ones, strangers and acquaintances. This new model that our presbytery aims to adopt over the next year or so is one way to start building a deeper sense of community and family connections within our Presbyterian denomination. And this morning, as Jesus reminds us of our personal connection to one another, as Jesus reminds us of our divine kinship, then my prayer and hope is that all of you will attend these monthly gatherings, that you will participate in them. My prayer and hope is that all of you will share in Christ's family and deepen your family connections with our brothers and sisters in Christ beyond the walls of this church. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.